We are reading from the study of the Ten Sefirot, Volume 1, page Aleph, Chapter 1, Restriction and Inline. You can watch our lesson at cap.tv, send us your questions. Selected questions will be heard in the course of the lesson. Talmud Esra Sefirot, Volume 1, First Part, Restriction and Inline, First Page. Okay, first we will read item 155, Introduction to the Study of the Ten Sefirot. Item 155, Introduction to the Ten Sefirot. Item 155. Accordingly, we should ask, why did Kabbalists obligate every person to study the wisdom of Kabbalah? However, there is a great thing about it worthy of being publicized, because there is a wonderful remedy to those who engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah. And even though they do not understand what they study, but out of their strong desire and longing to understand what they study, they awaken upon themselves the lights which surround their souls. Meaning, every person from Israel is guaranteed in its end to obtain all these wonderful attainments that the Creator had contemplated in the thought of creation to delight every creature. However, one who hasn't been rewarded in this incarnation will be rewarded in the second one, etc., until he will complete the thought of the Creator that had contemplated for him, as written in the Zohar, as known. And as long as a person did not been awarded of his wholeness, the lights which are destined to come to him are regarded as surrounding lights, which means that they stand ready for him, only they're waiting for a person to cleanse his vessels of reception. And then these lights will clothe those qualified kelim. Accordingly, also when these kelim are lacking, when a person engages in that wisdom and reminds the names of the lights and kelim that his soul belongs to, immediately they shine upon him to a certain extent. However, they shine upon him without clothing in the internality of his soul, because the kelim ready to receive them are missing. However, the illumination that he receives time after time while engaging in it draw upon him grace from above and imparts to him an abundance of sanctity and purity which brings a person greatly to reach his wholeness.
Yep, so after this intro, we'll approach the study of the Ten Sefirot, Part 1, Tzimtzum, and Kav. Go ahead.
First part, the study of the Ten Sefirot, Restriction in Line, includes two chapters. First chapter explains the issue of Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction, when Or and Sof became restricted in order to emanate the Netzalim and create the creatures, containing five issues. One, before the Tzimtzum, Ein Sof filled the entire reality. Two, the reason for creation was the revelation of his names and appellations. Three, the Tzimtzum of the Or around the middle point. Four, the Chalal that remained after the Tzimtzum was Agol, round. 5. Because of Or Ein Sof was even, the Tzimtzum was also even. This is the meaning of the Igul, circle. Before the Tzimtzum, Ein Sof filled the entire reality. 1. Know that before the Netzalim, emanated and creatures were created, an upper simple light had filled the entire reality. There was no vacant place, such as an empty air and halal, but everything was filled with that simple, boundless awe. It did not have a Bechina of Rosh or Sof, but it was all one, simple Or, completely even, called Or Ein Sof. Item 1, Inner Light. Bear in mind that the entire wisdom of Kabbalah is founded on spiritual matters that do not take up time or space. They are not subject to change or absence, and all the changes that are spoken of in this wisdom do not imply that the first form becomes absent and is replaced by a different form. The above change rather implies an additional form, while the first does not move from its place. As absence and change are corporal conducts, It is difficult for novice, for they perceive matters by means of corporal boundaries of time, space, change, and exchange. However, the authors only use those as signs to point to their upper roots. For that reason, I will make an effort to give every word its spiritual identity, detached of space, time, and change. It is upon the readers to memorize the meaning of these words thoroughly, for it is impossible to repeat them every time.
Questions, just keep him short and to the point, related to the topic only. Ranan, go on. Yes, what's happening there?
We studied that Kabbalists are speaking only about things that they attain. I wanted to ask, how can a simple light fill up the entire reality? Which deficiency could perceive it?
I don't know. I don't know about the world of Insof either. I don't know about many things that are written here, but what they wrote, it's a sign that they attained it. How? I don't know that either.
Ken.
Yes.
When he says to thoroughly remember, how can we do this exactly?
I don't know. Guys, listen, ask only about what he asks. He writes about Ensof. You can ask about anything. Ask only about what we can now scrutinize. That's it.
Perhaps I misunderstood, but he speaks about the meaning of the words, we should remember them. This is what it says here.
So
how exactly do we do that?
Remember, it says Tzimtzum, desire, every word that's written, it has a definition at the end of every single book, and we need to do it and remember it, try to remember it and repeat it every now and then. You have a few minutes, open the list of the questions and answers, and you can see it there. Go on.
Adam 1 explains before the emanators were emanated and the creatures were created. Adam 1. The issue of spiritual time is explained thoroughly in Istaklut Pnimit. 2. A simple upper light. Item 2, inner light, it refers to the Or that expands from the Atzmut, from the essence of the Creator. Know that all the names and appellations that appear in the wisdom of Kabbalah are not at all in the Atzmut, the essence of the Creator, but only in the Or that expands from His essence. However, we cannot utter even a single word regarding His Atzmut, essence, for the rule is that anything we do not attain, we do not know its name. Remember that, and you will not fail.
Because we don't touch Atzmuto. The lights that spread from it, we do. So you can say the same about the lights. Only to the extent we attain them, right? We feel them inside our vessels. Meaning our entire spiritual life is within the vessels, in the will to receive. the extent that that is focused in order to bestow, accordingly we can measure, we can examine, etc., and only then. So according to the extent of our correction, we can talk about spirituality. And nothing beyond that. Beyond that is philosophy. Is that clear? He's also, look how he scrutinizes this. You learn, then you can't learn anymore. These definitions are very important in the wisdom of Kabbalah.
3. Fills up the whole reality, inner light. It is seemingly perplexing, for it speaks of the time before the Olamot were created. Thus, which reality exists here that the Or Elyon, the upper light, should fill? The thing is that all the Olamot and the Neshamot, souls that exist and that are destined to be created with all their incidents until the end of their correction, are all included in Ein Sof, in their full measure and glory. Thus, there are two rudiments we should discern in reality before us. One, they are fixed and exist in Ein Sof with their full measure and glory. The second, how they are arranged and hang down and innovate before us after Tzimtzum Aleph, the first restriction in the five Olamot, Adam Kadmon, Atzilut, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. The Ari writes that Or Elyon, the upper light that extends from his Atzmut, from his essence, had filled the entire reality, meaning the entire reality of the first rudiment, relating to their existence in Ein Sof before the Tzimtzum. He tells us that the Or Elyon, the upper light, filled them entirely until they had no vacant place left where correction and perfection could be added whatsoever.
That's called the light of Ein Sof, the world of Ein Sof. You can't add any more corrections. That the desire is entirely connected with the light that fulfills it, and there is no deficiency on behalf of the desire, meaning there is nothing to add to the light that fulfills the desire. Yeah, clear. Okay, meanwhile, it's the foundations, fundamentals.
Item 4, inner light, explains vacant space. It means that before the Olamot were created, there was only Ein Sof. There weren't a vacant place, meaning a place of dearth that would qualify for corrections, because the Or Elyon, the upper light, filled that place. It left no room for the Tachtonim, for the low ones, to distinguish themselves and add something to his completeness. Because of the Tzimtzum, there came about wanting a vacant place for the corrections. However, do not be mistaken to think that the book speaks of a corporal place.
Meaning that by the expansion of the light in the desire, the desire that receives the light, attains the light under the influence of the light, it begins to receive new discernments inside of him. New discernments awaken, and these discernments, they divide up the desire into different parts. They awaken him to do tzimtzum and changes. All of that is as a result of the influence of the light on the desire. And that's how we'll see many more changes within the desire through Paratzufim and Olamot, all kinds of ascents, descents, restrictions, shattering, etc. And all of this is for the from the influence of the light on the desire. Meanwhile, the desire itself is just as a response to the light that's acting inside of it. And there'll be many more actions. There are many more actions until the descent below, until building of man, until the end of correction. But we have a certain part after the formation of man, that a certain desire called Adam, it begins to respond and begins to work together with the light. Meaning to advance with the actions of the light, to respond to it. In other words, to influence how the light influences it. So not just the light influences it, but the desire itself, to a certain extent, gets mind and heart and starts connecting, starts being in connection with the light itself. But actually it all happens only through the influence of the light on the desire. That's why it all starts or ends in Malchut of Ein Sof. And everything that takes place in five worlds, in our world, etc., all these things, all of that is inside the Malchut of Ein Sof. Alright? Next.
Item 5, Inner Light, explains an empty air. This does not refer to corporal air whatsoever, but there is a spiritual awe that is called by that name. There are two bechinot of all in each complete patsuf, or chokhmah and or the chasadim. Or chokhmah is the atzmut, the essence of the patsuf, meaning its vitality. Or chasadim only operates as a clothing or over the or chokhmah in the patsuf, since or chokhmah cannot permeate the patsuf if it does not wear the light of chasadim first. However, sometimes when the patsufim are in katnut, they do not have more than or chasadim. You should know that that or chasadim is called avir, air, or Ruach. When it is by itself, without or the Chokhmah, it is called empty Avir, meaning empty of or Chokhmah, then it waits for or Chokhmah to clothe it and fulfill it. The Ari tells us that before the Olamot were created, meaning in Ein Sof, such empty avir did not exist in reality at all, because there was not any dearth there or deficiency whatsoever.
Meaning there are all different kinds of forms of how the light clothes in the desire. The light that clothes in the desire in the will to receive is called the light of Chokhmah. The Kli goes through restriction from not wanting to receive the light of Chokhmah. We'll learn about it, how the vessel feels shame. And then the light of Chokhmah can be received in the Kli, only if the Kli had some kind of, was identified with the light of Chokhmah, meaning she can receive it only to the extent she itself can bestow. And the extent of bestowal of the Kli, meaning from who it will receive, is called the light of Chasadim. Therefore, the light of Chokhmah must clothe the light of Chasadim, and the light of Chasadim is the correction, called correction of creation. Light of Chokhmah is the purpose of creation. And these two lights clothe the light of Chokhmah, the light of Chasadim, in the right Kli. Sometimes the Kli Sometimes the Kli can't receive the light of Chokhmah, so it has only the light of Chasadim, which is then, instead of Or, it's called Avir, empty of Chokhmah. Questions? Everything is clear. Good. About what we spoke about. Yes, Moshe.
What is the definition of Or, light? What is the definition of Or? He keeps talking about Or. What is Or?
What is Or? It's what comes from the emanator. It's what fulfills the desire. It's the lively force. It's the force of fulfillment. Everything that's received in the kli is called light. If you want a precise definition, at the end of part one, there is the interpretation of the words. It's exactly what I said. Well, it came out by chance. Okay. Yes, more?
When he says that the light of Ein Sof fills the entire reality, is there a reality of the will to receive? It exists?
No, the will to receive is the entire reality.
I don't understand. He says that the light of Ein Sof fills everything. The will to receive already exists.
The will to receive is reality.
But he says that the light of Ein Sof is reality, that it fills up the entire reality.
Fulfills all of reality, okay.
Ah, okay, now I get it. Now, Malchut of Ein Sof, a deficiency exists there?
The Creator created a deficiency, and there is nothing else other than a deficiency, and the fulfillment, it calms down this deficiency. If we say Kli, Ratzon, Sfira, that's a deficiency. Other than the Creator, everything is a deficiency.
That state of Malchut of Ein Sof, when was it created? Where does it exist in this line of development, Malchut of Ein Sof?
Malchut of Ein Sof is the four phases of direct light. The Pchina Dalit is called Malchut of Ein Sof.
You defined before the difference between the light of Chochmah and the light of Chassadim, so I'm trying to clarify if I got it correctly. The light of Chassadim, you said that this is the attitude to the source from which the light of Chochmah comes from. Did I get it correctly?
Yes, yes. Good, I'm satisfied by the question there. It's practical. To the point. That's it?
Item 6, Inner Light, explains Chalal. To understand that word, you must first know the essence of a spiritual kli. Since the Neetzal, the emanated, receives its substance from the Ma'atzil, from the emanator, it necessarily implies that it has a ratzon, desire and yearning to receive that shefa, that abundance from him. Know that the amount of that ratzon, desire and yearning is the entire substance that exists in the emanated. Thus, everything that exists in the emanated that is not that substance, no longer relates to its substance, but to the Shefa, to the abundance that it receives from the emanator, from the Matzil. Furthermore, this substance determines the Gadlut and the level of each emanated, each Patsuf, and each Sfira. The Itpashtut, the expansion of the upper light from the emanator, is certainly immeasurable, but it is the emanated that limits the Shefa, for it receives no more than and no less than its measure of desire to receive. This is the criterion in spirituality, because there is no coercion there. It depends entirely on the ratzon, on the desire. For that reason, we call this will to receive the vessel of reception of the emanated. It is regarded as its substance, and the reason that it stopped being regarded as an emanator and was denominated as an emanated. The emanated is defined by a substance that does not exist in the emanator whatsoever. For there is absolutely no will to receive in the emanator, because from whom would he receive? Now we will explain how there are 4 degrees in this substance, from Katnut to Gadlut of reception. The 4th degree, being the Gadlut of the reception, is complete only in Ein Sof, before the Olamot were created. It is the only one that was subject to the Tzimtzum. And we will clarify henceforth that it was emptied of every abundance that she had from Ein Sof and remained a vacant halal, a vacant space. This is what the Ari means when he says that before the Olam was created, meaning in Ein Sof, this vacant halal did not exist. Rav, questions. You have to read this book with a pencil together with the reader to mark words or matters that you want to ask about. And then ask. If you do not ask, it means that you did not read it, because I have many questions.
Ken.
Yes. According to what was said here, what distinguishes the greatness of the Kli, the deficiency or the revelation or the appearance of the abundance in it? Rav, everything is measured only according to the deficiency, also the abundance. Rami? What is this phenomenon that the light expands in matter? How can you explain it? The phenomenon that light expands in substance is how the substance is impressed from something that feels it, as it feels that it feels it, and that is called light. Oh, this is how he calls it. We are talking only about a desire and how it is impressed only. The way the desire is impressed from something which is supposedly in it is called or light. And such impressions, there are different impressions, and according to them, that indicates that the light is different each time. Okay? If you will ask your friend to your right or your friend to the left about some phenomenon, one will say it's sweet and the other one can say that it is sour. And how it is truly is, there is no truth, because everything is according to the one who obtains. We do not know what light is, we don't know anything. All we know is a desire and the way it is impressed. And that is the truth. So remember that. It influences our work, our perception, our approach. Everything depends on the desire. If we change the desire, we change our life. Therefore, the entire wisdom of Kabbalah is how to receive correctly. Yes, Akoka. He writes here that the expansion of the upper light from the emanator is certainly without any measure or degree. Only the emanated makes a measure of abundance by himself.
Yeah, that's what I just said.
So what does it mean? We said that the desire is a raw material. It has nothing of itself. So how come all of a sudden it decides something?
It changes. It changes. That's what we learn. How a desire changes. And how can we participate in changing the desire? Because our entire life depends on it, our entire reality, my existence. Yes?
Yeah, but here in this state, in this initial state, there is light and there is a desire. So what makes one, what activates the other?
Also, the light we talk about is a phenomena of the desire. Just like I talk about electricity. Oh, this is electricity. Why? Because I see that it shines. So what if it shines? Why is that electricity? I see a phenomena of something going through the wires, and the wires heat up. And then, as a result, it emits these photons, right? These particles. So you say that there's electricity. But we don't know what it is, but that's what we call such a phenomena. We never actually know what's really happening inside the Kli. We only know of its impression of the Kli. Yes?
So light is a phenomenon in the desire.
Yes.
Now the desire, does he know what he wants, what it wants?
More or less. Yes, no, it depends on what degree it's on.
Here, where we are.
I don't know where you are. You're bringing me here.
I'm talking about test, volume 1, item 1.
I can't answer that like that. In order to know what the desire wants, that desire has to be highly developed. But now, in the meanwhile, it isn't. Here, the desire is not developed. It only starts developing through the light that constantly works in him. We say this. There is this meeting between the light and the desire. And that, too, we only talk about it schematically because there is no such thing that the light is outside of the desire and the desire is outside of the light. But let's say, so the first acquaintance, when they are in contact, that's where we start. This is called Pchina of Shoresh. That there is light, there's a desire, and something begins to build up between the two. Between the two. That's it. And from that we learn, this is the entire wisdom of Kabbalah. How, from these two opposite things, all of reality began. Yes.
Light and desire, they start reality together. The moment they meet, that is considered the beginning of reality?
Yes. One does not exist without the other. One without the other one is the purpose, is the thought of creation and things that are kind of blurry.
In the beginning of Adam 6, he says that there's a measure of desire and longing. The longing is also a part of the desire.
Yearning that is born within the desire itself that has the influence of the light on it. You have a desire, I gave you something, right, in your mouth. You have a desire, so you received it. And from you receiving it and what I gave you influenced your desire, now you want it yourself. I want more. That's the craving.
And now is it different from a deficiency? Because also in deficiency I want more.
No, here it's an inclination. A chisaron is a general chisaron, a general lack. But yearning means that I've developed it with participation of the netzal. The chisaron usually comes from the influence of the light. I want it. Why do you want it? Because the light influenced me and I want it. I want to get by, to eat, to fulfill myself, because I know what it is already. But yearning is when it comes from the emanator as an addition. And the most important thing here is the yearning, because the deficiency comes from above, and the ishtokikut, the yearning, comes mainly from below. All right? Yes.
We said that the desire is a substance, but if I understand it correctly, then a desire is a lack, is an absence.
Desire is a deficiency.
So what does it mean that it is substance? A deficiency means absence, it's empty, it's not theirs.
So call it that, it doesn't matter. Chomer, matter, is a deficiency. There's no deficiency, there's no matter.
We speak so much about the desire.
Mister, I told you, I don't want to delve into it. Did you hear the definition? That's it. There is a deficiency, there is matter. There isn't a deficiency, there isn't matter. That's spirituality. That's it. Think about what I said and then you'll understand. Yes.
He writes that a vacant space, when he wrote a vacant space, he meant Bechina Daled.
Yes.
Why?
Because before Bechina Daled, we have nothing to talk about. Before Bechina Daled, there is only the expansion, the spreading of the light. There isn't yet a created being. The first created being is the Bechina Daled, is the fourth phase. We'll talk about that. It's still early. That's it. Let's go.
Adam 7 explains, is filled with a simple light of Ein Sof. This means that there is nothing that the lower one can add to it by means of their actions.
That's clear, right? The light is so perfect, there's nothing to add to it on behalf of the lower one. Again, this is all talking not about the light itself, but about the feeling of the light, the feeling of this phenomena called light within the desire. We can talk about the light, whatever you want. We always need to know this is entirely a phenomena within a desire. That's the only place we speak. We research, we compare. Everything we do, we only do it from on behalf of the created being. From within the created being. Go on.
About the light. Let's say a person takes an apple and eats it, and then he enjoys it and feels all kind of flavors and everything. So you can say that this is the feeling of light, that this is the light of Chochmah.
No.
No. You can say that every pleasure that's received within the desire is called the light of Chochmah. You can say that simply. Fine, but as you say in this example, then what is accustomed is that that isn't called light. But that's as if that's the phenomenon.
And then the light of Chassadim, if he ascribes all these flavors to the source, to the Creator, this is the light of Chassadim?
No, to ascribe it is just to relate where it comes from. That's not yet Chassadim. Chassadim means that I don't take this pleasure to myself, to my own pleasure as I really want, but I decide that I receive it only in order to give contentment to the giver. So I must have a large desire, otherwise I'll have no pleasure. And I also must have contact with the giver that I want to enjoy, especially for him. That it's considered that I have the light of Chassadim.
And this is after the correction, restriction, the screen.
All the rest is later on. Niv.
Adam 8 explains the Bechina of Rosh, not the Bechina of Rosh and not the Bechina of Sof. The terms Rosh and Sof will be explained below. Adam 9, inner light, explains one simple light. Meaning, without discriminating small and great, everything is even.
The light that is in this one equivalent, meaning that the cliff feels in all of its parts that same impression, and that's what it means that the Or Pashut fulfills it. Go on.
Adam 10, inner light, explains even in complete degree, where there is no zakut, purity, and aviyut, coarseness, by which the degrees are set. These discriminations were established only with the renewal of the tzimtzum, restriction.
That is why there is no such thing. In other words, that the simple light is equal in this one equivalence, that's why there aren't changes, therefore you can't talk about comparing it, about its equivalence.
Adam 20, inner light, explains the light of Ein Sof. We should ask, since we have no attainment in Ein Sof, how then do we know him by name? After all, each name designates the attainment that we attain in him according to the definition of that name. We cannot excuse ourselves by saying that the name merely points to the negation of attainment, for then we should have named him unattainable. The thing is that that name indicates the entire difference between Ein Sof and all the alomot beneath it. The Tzimtzum took place after Ein Sof. Thus, in every place this four awakens, it restricts the Or, and that ends the He'ara, the illumination in that place. Hence, any sof and siyum in any hara, in any illumination, in any partsuf, comes solely from the tzimtzum. Moreover, all the beings and their various feelings in the olamot come about and are innovated because of that sof and siyum. It is called Ein Sof because the Tzimtzum does not apply there, indicating that there isn't any ending there whatsoever. With that, we can deduce that this Or is Pashut, simple, and completely even, for one depends on the other.
It's really hard to imagine what Ein Sof is, because we're talking on behalf of the Kli. So Ein Sof, meaning there is no limit, there is no border for the Kli, which is what it's. So it's infinite. We usually think about it in corporeal measures. So here we need to understand it differently, that a Kli that's fulfilled without any limit is called Ein Sof. If my cup will be filled all the way to the top, that is considered that it's filled Ein Sof, even if it's just 200 mil or whatever we have here. This is called Ein Sof. The Kli does not put a limitation on the light. Here I'll receive and here I won't. Meaning there can be a small Kli or a large Kli, which is in Ein Sof. If it doesn't limit the light, meaning it receives to the extent that it can. It can be small, but in Ein Sof it can be a million times larger than him, but it will still be limited. Because it's all relative with respect to the Kli. We can never say that there is more or there is less. We can't say about any Kli. It's always in comparison to the Kli. If he receives without any limitation, he doesn't make an end. That's called no end. Ein Sof. That's it. 10 grams. But you're not limited. That's considered that you are in Ein Sof with no end. And you're feeling is that there is no end. And it's possible that instead of 10 grams, you have 10 tons, your vessel of, but you can't receive more than half of it. So there, 10 grams are Ein Sof, or no end, but here with 5 tons, you're limited. Meaning it's all with respect to the attainer. Yes, quickly.
How to generate such longing you spoke of earlier?
Guys, we're talking about what we're studying now, not about a person, but about the study.
I'm talking about the Kli, like you showed us about the glass.
We're not talking about that. You'll have to learn, study with the Sefirot, and not just... Here we're talking about definitions. Vessels limited, isn't limited. How to be limited or not limited, that's not here.
And it has no connection to it?
Not that there isn't a connection, but we're not learning this. This belongs to man's work. And here we're learning about the structure of the upper world. So you should differentiate between the two. Yes.
He speaks about Malchut of Ein Sof before the Tzimtzum?
Yes. There is Malchut of Ein Sof, that's before the restriction. After the Tzimtzum, it's Malchut restricts.
So after the expansion of 4 phases of the direct light, there's Malchut of Ein Sof?
Yes.
I don't understand what Ein Sof is. Sof, 10 gram, is it the Sof? 10 gram is the Sof, is the end?
No, that's not the end. You'll hear what I say and then you'll think about it. I have nothing else to add. If the vessel doesn't limit the light, it's called Ein Sof. What do you want?
What Gilad asked, he writes in item 10 about the purity and coarseness only with the renewal of the restriction, meaning only after the Tzimtzum there's an issue of... But what about these 4 phases until Malchut of Ein Sof? from a state of Ensof until Malchut of Ensof.
We haven't yet learned these things, but we will learn them. I ask of you, please focus on what we're learning. You can tie anything to it, not our work, maybe in two words only, but, and don't tie things you've already learned in depth. Rachamim, what do you want?
The study here, is it to qualify us to receive the light in the future to come?
I don't know. It doesn't say about that here. That's it. That's it.
No.
Go on.
The whole thing, is it about creating a deficiency?
I don't know. It's not talking about that here. Guys, we are going to learn the wisdom of Kabbalah during this hour. Do you get it? Without any contact of man.
Okay, we study laws.
Laws that are written here.
How do these laws, these rules, build in us that deficiency?
I don't know.
So how will we know?
I don't know.
So I understand that I have to work.
So go study somewhere else. I'm telling you, at this hour, you have someone in front of you studying the study of the Ten Sefirot. An hour beforehand, someone else was here who taught you the work of man.
Okay, I'm ready to study.
Are you listening? Think about it, and if you don't treat the study that way, then you won't.
Sir, you are leading me to the soul of Adam.
I don't care what you reach. I'm leading those who want to follow me. That's it. Please sit down and don't jump up anymore. We're studying the study of the Ten Sefirot, and that only. And with a word here or there to hint about man's work, yes, but actually we're studying tests. To understand this, if there's a need, yes, but not like he's asking and not like you're asking. No, just learn. I understand that I'm going to have problems with that, not just with you, but with everyone. But get used to it. That's how you study. And that's how you should teach. Don't start confusing one with the other. Later on, when a person starts working on himself, then he'll see, it is correct, it isn't correct. I can do this, I can't do this. It isn't me, it isn't in me. That depends on man. But here, we're learning about a wisdom. What does it say about a wisdom? Wisdom in the nations, believe it. What are the nations? What do we speak about? It's a will to receive. So each one with his will to receive can study tests. And that's how you learn, actually. If you go to all places, you'll see. What are they learning this in order to reach attainment? They're just learning. Jerusalem Kabbalists, that's what it's called. Next.
Adding to the words of the Ari, the reason for creation was the revelation of his names and appellations. 2. When it rose upon his simple ratzon, desire, to create the olamot and emanate the ne'etzalim, the emanated, to bring the perfection of his deeds, his names and appellations to light, which was the reason of the creation of the olamot.
Again,
the reason for creation was the revelation of his names and appellations. When it rose upon his simple ratzon, his simple desire to create the olamot and emanate the ne'etzalim, emanate the emanated, to bring the perfection of his deeds, his names and appellations to light, which was the reason of the creation of the olamot.
Time below.
Inner Light, Adam 3, explains when it rose upon his simple desire to create the Olamot and emanate the emanated. We need not wonder how there is a Ratzon in Ensof who is higher than any notion, to which we can say, rose upon his simple desire, etc. You should comprehend what has been said above, that in every emanated, there is by necessity a will to receive the Shefa, the abundance from the Ma'atzil. However, in Ein Sof, it is a simple Ratzon, simple desire, because he is one and his name one. The Or in Ein Sof is called he, and the will to receive is called his name. and they are simple unity without any form of separation. However, we should not resemble the unity and separation discussed here with corporeal unity and separation that are distinguished by motion.
That here, of course, there is a difference between the kli and between what fulfills it, right? There is a cup, this is glass, and what fulfills it is tea. In spirituality, it's not how it is, but...
However, we should not resemble the unity and separation discussed here with corporeal unity and separation that are distinguished by motion, nearness, and distance. That is because the spiritual essence does not take up any space. Having said that, you should know that separation in spirituality occurs only by means of shinui tzura, disparity of form. Thus, if one spiritual thing acquires an additional tzura, form, that is unlike its current tzura, it stops being one and becomes two separate entities. Their distance from each other is measured by the oppositeness of their forms. Just as corporeal entities connect and separate through proximity and remoteness, so spiritual entities connect and separate according to their difference and equivalence of form. The shinui tzura, disparity of form, separates them from one another, and the hishtavut tzura, equivalence of form, brings them together. Remember that, for it is the key element to this wisdom.
Until here, is it clear? Questions? Meaning, we are here talking about changing of form and equivalence of form. Form is a desire. There is a desire to bestow, and whatever, well, the change we have from the will to bestow that we have, meaning the will to receive, so these changes that are in each and every one of them, one for himself, when it changes in the will to receive, then we talk about these changes as motion, as movement. So these are changes, and this is motion only in the desire. And this determines already a lot of results. Yes.
Rav, what does this notion mean, a simple desire?
A simple desire is one desire. It's not complex. It's a simple desire. It's one, single, only. It's more accurate, we'll learn that later, that it comes out of as a result of the thought of creation. Go on next. There was someone else there? Yes.
What are names and appellations? What's the difference? מה זה שמות וכינויים? כן.
שם זה שם ברור שזה מי.
A name is a clear name. It's related to its numerical value. It's a precise definition that stems from its place. Appellations are related to phenomena. You could say that. Well, there is a precise measurement, which is the name, and there are causes to it, phenomena from it, what is received from within it, and these are additions to the names. That's the appellations. The
names that refers to the light or the kli, or where one meets the other.
There are names of the light and there are names of the vessels, but the name of the light they too come to us from the Kli, from the impression of the Kli.
And the appellation, this is the intermingling of the two?
No, don't start. I'm asking, don't start here all these kind of things to connect to it. There's a word for now, accept it as it is. Then later on, gradually, you will begin to define it in a way that you'll see how it's used, just like we learn in childhood. I don't know what the words are. I'm spoken to in all different words, and I gradually start understanding what they're related to.
Yeah, I was trying to understand what appellations are. You said something about a phenomenon that occurs.
I don't know. Good. Now I understand how I need to answer you guys. I don't know. If you don't want to understand what I'll say, then I don't know what you're saying. I told you, you need to learn from the texts what he means in all these words. Just like you learnt from your mother or your grandma, whoever raised you, you learnt words. Your mother tongue is English, you heard English, and then you understood all the words later on. Where from? Was it explained to you? No, it wasn't. You just understood this from that, this from that. That's called mother tongue. Similarly, you need to learn the language of Kabbalah in such a way, and even though there are definitions here in a dictionary, etc., the essence of these things, you'll catch on from the reading, from hearing. And I can't give you a more precise definition, just like if you're a small child and you hear a word, even if this word will be explained to you 1,000 times, that is called a truck, for example. Ooh, it's big, it's that, I see it, that too isn't yet enough. Slowly you'll understand what a truck is. It drives and it takes something, it transports, and this and that. You learn this from life. When you build internal vessels for it, you build vessels. And then this term, this definition, the definition is a Kli. The term is a Kli. I'm not going to go the way you want me to go, so don't wait for me to do that. You can do whatever you guys want. But I have a line here, and I know this is how we need to study. This is how I know. Maybe someone else teaches otherwise. Go to him. Yes, Gilad.
How can we understand the notion, the term disparity of form we just learned of, if there is no intention there yet, if it is before the restriction?
I don't know, but that's what he says. He doesn't say about this state specifically. He says, in general, changing of form is inside the Kli. According to the changing of form, the Kli begins to fill its previous state with comparison to its current state, to its next state. The light changes within the Kli. Wait for it. We can't. We've learned part one with Rabash. He went over it, he read it, and that's it. Nothing to explain here. You just need, from these things, you need to gradually, just, it'll fall into place.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson.
What's the overall impression? What problems are there, except for the ones that I'm awakening?
No.
You want to say something? Go on.
We study very slowly.
What do you mean slowly?
Slowly, slowly.
What are you saying slow about?
Too slowly.
We're studying too slowly. We need to read faster. Tomorrow, instead of Niv, we'll have someone else here. That's not true. Okay, you see? He says that it's too fast. And you're saying it's too slow. Okay.
Moving on to the next part of the lesson, but before we do, let's sing a song together.
Good.
יהללו כולם.
הנה שוב אנחנו כאן שלובים מלב אל לב, את החושך נגרש, ילך גם הכאב.
ביחד זה מרגיש כמו שמש בנשמה
חודרת אל הלב כמנגינה.
ביחד נגיע, ביחד נצעד אליך לאהבה.
הגענו ברוכים הבאים.